This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of things around the Umpqua Valley. Now, the intriguing, exciting world of county government finance. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and County Chief Financial Officer Dan Wilson. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And Dan, I think your first time on, right?
Yes, correct.
All right. So, first of all, Tim, how do the budget numbers look this year compared to 2024-2025?
Well, as we continue to try to explain to folks, you know, we are looking for ways always to be more conservative on our budgeting. So the total fund budget for the year that we're in right now, the one we just adopted, is just over $14 million less than the previous year.
Wow, that's a big change.
Well, it is. An awful lot of that's capital projects. So, you know, depending on, you know, when the projects get funded, when they get accomplished, some of that's, you know, pretty variable. But the, you know, priorities continue to be public safety, but we continue to have to make sure we're being mindful and not spending more than we need to provide the basic services.
Now, of course, we should remind people, not everybody catches this along the way, that most governments deal with, is it July 1st? Is that when the new budget year started, or the end of July?
July 1st.
July 1st. July 1st through the end of June, yeah. That's the federal fiscal year. And that's the county fiscal year. The federal fiscal year starts October 1st and ends the end of September. And, of course, the rest of us do calendar year, you know, January to December. So it can be a little confusing.
So what's the process in crafting a new budget for a 12-month period? I mean, when you have all these things to look at.
Well, it's interesting, and I'll let Dan answer some of this, but we don't really think of the budget as starting and stopping. We work on the budget all the time. So really the, you know, for the commissioners, the formal part, I guess, would start maybe in January. But literally we look at budgets every single day. And as the county administrators, you know, we are very involved in what the departments do and how the money is being spent and can adjust pretty quickly. So it's unlike a lot of government budgets where a budget's passed and the departments just go spend whatever they have. You know, they feel like if they don't spend it, they lose it. That isn't how we do it at the county. We literally monitor it all the time. But I'll let Dan talk a little bit to the formal process.
Yeah, so like Commissioner Freeman said, in January we start thinking about the budget, and I meet with the commissioners individually and get the feel for any specific direction, overall direction that we need to have for the county as a whole. And then I begin, we send out, you know, documents to the various departments that we have in the county, and have them prepare their own budgets given the general direction. And then once they start coming in, I meet with the ones that I feel like we need to meet with, the departments that is, and if we need to get the liaison commissioner involved with that and go over that and make any changes to that budget that we before we actually go and present it to the budget committee, that's kind of the process. That takes a while though. It starts in January, like I said, and we don't have our budget meetings until May. So it's a pretty time-consuming process.
And in those budget meetings, you've got the commissioners, but also at a certain point, you've got a budget committee too, right?
Yeah, so the budget's first reviewed by and gone over by the budget committee, which is the three commissioners, so myself, Commissioner Kress, and Commissioner Boyce. But also currently on our budget committee is Tom Nelson, retired financial advisor, been very involved in a bunch of different finance stuff around the county. We have Katie Jones, small business owner, Mark Jones Trucking, and we have Jeff Johnson. He's really from South County, owns several businesses, been part of school boards and different things down there. So it's Tom Nelson, Katie Jones, and Jeff Johnson are the other three members, and the six of us make up the budget committee.
So what are the three of them involved in? Are they just kind of sort of double checking everything, or do they do more?
No, I think they have a lot of influence on what happens. So as part of the process goes, once we start having our budget hearings, all the department heads and including the other elected officials come in and present their budgets. The budget committee asks questions, makes adjustments, really sort of hones in on, what we're doing, helps set priorities, whether we're working on public safety or bridges or whatever the priority of the budget committee is. They're very involved in that throughout the years. And I will tell you, the time they spend prior to those budget committee meetings, sort of digesting the budget and understanding what's in it and the questions they ask is very valuable to the process. So they're more than just attending a few meetings. They're very involved in the process.
And all of them have also benefit from the fact that they've been living here a long time.
Yeah, they're all longtime community members. And again, they've been on the budget committee for quite a while now, too. So they're sort of familiar with the priorities and the direction that the county's been going. But give us that feedback from sort of a citizen perspective that's so valuable in the budget process.
So, Tim, how long have you been CFO?
I have been CFO here at the county for 4 years now. Prior to that, I was a CFO for the city of Sutherland for 7 years. And then prior to that, 23 years in the private sector in finance and accounting.
So how did you get into that whole area back in high school, college, whatever?
You know, in college, I thought I wanted to be an engineer at one point. And I remember getting into it, and it really wasn't for me. And I remember my mom telling me, you should try accounting. You like the math and the numbers. And I took an accounting course, and it just clicked and kind of went from there and finished that in college. And it's just been part of my life ever since.
Do you feel like you have to have kind of a certain type of skill set? I mean, a lot of people fail at even creating their own home budget,
right,
or not very good at sticking to it, and yet that's one or two incomes in a family versus all the income streams and the money going in and out that you're dealing with for millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved over my career. You know, I've been working on budgets at various levels, and you learn to get a feel for where the revenue is coming from, where the expenditures are coming, where the priorities are. It's a bit of, budgeting itself is a bit of an art form. It's not, there is a balance to it, absolutely, but it's not, there's so many variables that you, at some point you just have to go with assumptions and, just make adjustments along the way once you've set it down.
Now, how do you deal with some of these large curveballs? I mean, you have a flood, or you have other things like that come along. Sometimes ultimately you're going to get some state or federal money to help with some of that. But walking in, you've got to deal with the crisis while it's happening.
So I think that's really the success of this style of government, of this style of county government, is that because the commissioners are the administrator and you're working with the department heads day in and day out, and with the finance department and the CFO and the other elected officials, that you literally can pivot pretty quickly. And there is a lot of variables. One of the comments that Dan made in the budget message is there's a bunch of unknowns. This year, probably as much as any, some of the unknowns are greater than they've been historically. And I think moving forward, that's going to continue to be the case. So the ability to make those adjustments and to do what's right, to take care of when we have a flood, to make sure the roads get open and repaired, and maybe you delay a project you'd planned to do in Public Works. Maybe a bridge project that was slated to be done, you have to put it off for a little while. But being able to make those decisions real time is really important, and we do that all the time. Some of the variables we talk about, both in revenues and expenditures, use the flood as an example on expenditures, but we have at different times throughout the different fiscal years, we have union negotiations that happen. Some of those are strike prohibited, so you go to a binding arbitration, so you really don't have a lot of control of the outcome of those. You do have emergencies that come up. You have different times through the years of being a commissioner, we've had huge spikes in fuel prices, which affect the budget, and other things that happen. And then on the revenue side, you know, you have years where you get secure school funding, and that, you know, sometimes changes, goes down 5%. Sometimes they sequester it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you don't get secure schools, you get actual timber receipts. That's very volatile as far as what's going to come in. You know, sometimes you get a decent, you know, year of timber harvest and your revenue's pretty good. And then you've got payment in lieu of taxes. Payment in lieu of taxes has a two-year look back. So if you get a large amount of secure rural schools, your payment in lieu of taxes is lower. Or if you get large timber receipts, you know, it's lower. But if you don't have a bunch of timber receipts, the payment in lieu of taxes calculation goes up. With this new administration, we're seeing a lot of the federal money that comes to the state have requirements for things the state's unwilling to do. So that money that would normally flow through to the county isn't happening. The most recent one of those is some funding we get from the state that comes from the federal government for victims assistance in the DA's office. Because that money's not coming from the state, that'll have to be spent at a general fund if that doesn't get corrected. So those things are just, you know, happen. And again, they happen every year. It's not unique to this year. But definitely there's lots of uncertainties this year in the budget. But again, it's not uncommon that there's uncertainties.
All right, we're going to talk more about the county budget when we come back. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, County Chief Financial Officer Dan Wilson. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter, David Littlejohn and True Wealth Radio. There we go. Coming up, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. County Budgets, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, Chief Financial Officer Dan Wilson. We're talking about a lot of things related to the budget and so many variables. One component that I'm curious how you're dealing with right now is money related to timber revenue, some changes under the Big Beautiful Bill, and a provision that was put in there towards the end, or at least that was before a lot of people spotted it, regarding all that money going to the federal government and not a portion coming to the county. Where are we at on that?
Yeah, so in the reconciliation bill, there's several things related to management of the forest that were in there that are a little bit frustrating. You know, one is we're very excited about the fact that the president's talking about increasing timber harvest and you know, using domestic wood instead of importing wood. When he talks about that, you know, about America having their own domestic wood supply, he's literally talking about right here. We are the timber capital of the world because we grow the best timber here, and we have more timber on the ground here in Douglas County and in Western Oregon than any time in recorded history. So we're glad he's talking about it. The bill that passed, the reconciliation bill, had a few odd things in it. So the target or the requirement on the ONC lands number they put in the bill is a little less than the current resource management plan would allow. So they sort of missed the target there, although they are committed to fixing that. They also put a provision in to help areas of the country that don't have milling capacity. So a lot of areas, because there hasn't been a supply of timber, their mills have gone away. So they put a 20-year contract provision in that would allow those mills to to invest and you know, rebuild and know that they'd have supply of timber for 20 years. And that makes sense in a lot of the areas of the country. Here in Western Oregon and Western Washington and Northern California, where we have currently excess milling capacity, it does not make sense. So we are working on getting a carve out for ONC and for the western part of Oregon, Washington, and the northern part of California. But as part of that 20-year contract, which again, the BLM and the Forest Service has just a handful of those they have to do over the next 10 years. But those contracts, when they do them, 100% of the timber receipts will go to the Treasury. There is no revenue sharing. So, you know, right now with the current administration, we're assured that on the ONC, they'll likely not use those 20-year contracts. Remember, the BLM manages ground all the way, you know, across the entire United States, so they only have a handful of those contracts they have to do. So, you know, our hope is and our commitment now from the administration that they're not going to use them on O&C. But long term, we'd like to get that fixed and again have a carve out on those 20-year contracts, both for the milling capacity concern and for the county receipts. The success of Western Oregon and really Western Washington and Northern California is that historically there's been the constant supply of federal timber coming in, regardless of the price and whatever's happened in the economy. That certain amount of timber is sold every year, and that keeps your milling capacity going. The private timber landowners, when the economy is going good and there's a demand for more timber and the price of timber is up, they tend to sell their wood. And when the economy is constricting and the demand's down a little bit, they let their wood grow. And that model of having a constant supply of federal timber and letting the private timber guys sort of, you know, go up and down with the economy has worked very well to keep our milling capacity in place, where in other places in the country that without that model, that you've seen milling capacity just completely leave. And once the milling capacity is gone, it's hard to get it back.
Now, are there other potential losses due to other changes in federal spending priorities?
Well, I think really the challenge we're starting to see now is when the new administration puts restrictions on funding, like I say, with the district attorney and the victims assistance through the DA's office, you know, they put a requirement for the agency, the state, to work with immigration and enforcement. And, you know, the state just said, no, we're not doing that. So they didn't take the money. So it's those types of things, I think, that'll be the most challenging, being our state is so, at a state level, so different than the federal administration. Anything we're doing directly with the federal government from the county's perspective, we're in pretty good shape. But it's those pass-through dollars that go through through the state of Oregon where there may be some challenges.
And Dan, you've got federal money for various things that comes with strings, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's spent, but then you've got to account for everything correctly with the federal folks or the state folks.
Yeah, it is a full-time job. Making sure that this money is spent correctly and according to the purpose that was set forth with the funding. You know, each year we not only go through an audit that is for the county as a whole, but then we go through a specific one that is for federal funding only. So a much more detailed audit. Given that, and yeah, we have to make sure that it's all spent correctly.
So all government expenditures, which are taxpayer funded, all of our services have to be accounted for. But just I promise not to do a whole bunch of numbers, so I won't. But so the property taxes that everybody pays represents about 8.5% of our budget. But then the other funds that we get, so grants and other intergovernmental funding, represent almost 28% of our funding. And then what people pay for service charges, rents, fees, those type of things, that represents almost 40% of our budget. So as you can imagine, as we have all these different revenue streams, each of those type of revenue streams has their own set of rules and regulations we have to follow and account for. And then as part of the regular legal process of government budgeting, every year we're audited on all that. And I'm happy to say Dan and his team, and I'm going to give Dan a lot of credit, but he has a great team that help him too. They continue to receive one of the highest awards for government accounting that's issued each year because of the great work they do making sure the dollars are spent correctly.
What's our situation now with county reserves?
So I assumed you might ask that question. So we started out this year with a fund balance of around $70 million. So not all that's reserved. Some of that's project carryover money, but that's sort of the number on paper. I don't know if you have a better number than that, but that's kind of what we use as the general concept of the, you know, it's the ending fund balance from last year's revised budget. We haven't quite accounted for all of it. It's likely going to be a little higher than that because we will not have spent everything that we budgeted to spend last year.
About a minute left here on the program. Big concerns for the county financial situation in the next few years?
Well, again, I think, you know, our budget committee and the commissioners have done well to continue to have public safety as a priority. If you look back, you know, 10 or 12 years ago and look at the staffing breakdown between departments, you'll see over the last 10 years, the sheriff's department's actually, you know, gained a little bit, you know, as far as the number of staff and the funding. Just last year, public safety went up almost $3 million in funding, whereas all the other funds went down about $10 million, so all the other departments. So we continue to set a priority for public safety. There will be a time where it's going to be more of a challenge to provide the current level of public safety if something doesn't happen. Having the president talk about increased timber harvest and those revenues that will be shared with the county is really the one thing out there that's large enough to save the current level of services, and we continue to support and work on that issue.
All right, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, County Chief Financial Officer Dan Wilson, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.